Good morning. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we thank you for this good day. We are grateful unto you because you are God indeed. Lord, attend to our cry again today. Let heaven be open unto us. Speak to us, Lord, not in parable, we are your children. Speak to us, O Lord, in such a clear language that we all can understand you. Blessed Holy Spirit, come and take absolute control of this meeting from center to center, from nation to nation. Let your glory come down. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Amen. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said he should be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord. As the water covered the sea, right here in our midst, the Spirit is moving right here in our midst, as the prophet said it should be, right here in our midst. There's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord, as the water covered the sea. Deep in my heart, deep down in my heart, the Spirit is moving. Come on, say, deep down in my heart, as the prophet said it should be, deep down in my heart, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord, as the water covered the sea. We thank God. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. Brothers and sisters, can we just pick our Bible quickly and let us read Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I want to read verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit and bring forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Matthew chapter 3, I want us to pick verse 24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Verse 27. So the servant of the household came and said unto him, sir, The servant of the household came and said unto him, Sir, is it not good seed you sow in the fine yard? Looking at Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 24, verse 27, verse 37, and verse 38. You will discover that there's something in common. What do you see? You discover that the seed is good seed. Do you notice that? The seed is good seed. And the first one we read, he said the seed, the ground is also a good ground. This morning, as I keep on praying, following the meeting from the first day, I discover that there is this ingredient that we must put in this. There is something that God will like every one of us to catch in this, our day of labor. And this morning, shortly before we pray, I will be speaking on narrow way to our rebel. Narrow way to our rebel. How do we arrive here? How far have we been coming? How do we get to where we are today? Some have been on this journey before we were born. Some of us join them, and some are still coming on the way. How do we arrive at this Rehoboth? And what's supposed to be the way forward from Rehoboth? Coming to Rehoboth, settling at Rehoboth, will not help us to fulfill the covenant that God has made with our father Abraham. Coming to Rehoboth, as good as it is, entering into the land of fruitfulness, the land of abundance, the land where there is no scarcity, the land where we can expand and enlarge, the land where we can say, Itato, the Lord has helped us. The Spirit of the Lord begin to minister to me that if we are going to fulfill and we are going to bring to pass what God, the covenant that God have made with Abraham, we shouldn't settle at Rehoboth. Looking at Genesis chapter 26, you will discover that in verse 13, the Bible says, and the man was great and went forward and grew until he became very great. I think that is a wonderful testimony. That a man, that's Isaac, he was great and went forward and grew until he became very great. And when you look at verse 22, and he removed from hence and dig another well, and for that they strove not, they quarreled not about it, and he called the name of it Rehoboth, and he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. That is another wonderful thing. And I thought that our father Isaac will keep on celebrating and keep on enjoying. But the Bible says in verse 23, and he went off from hence to Beersheba. Verse 24, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night. The Lord appeared unto him the same night. And what did he say? What did he say? The Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Please, brethren, can you permit me to look at this briefly? That what God is looking for, he's looking for sons and daughters that will cooperate with him in order for him to bring the covenant that they have made with Abraham to bring it to pass. What is the covenant? Looking into your Bible, you will agree with me that God called Abraham. He said, Abraham, I will bless you. I will multiply you. And he used a very powerful illustration. And that illustration, I've been battling with it right from the day I come across that scripture. What is it? He said, if anyone can number the sand at the seashore, please hear this. If any man can number the sand at the seashore, so shall your children be numbered. Please, I don't think we have discovered any man born of a woman, no scientist, no astrologer, no professor, no knowledgeable man born of a woman that can number the sand at the seashore. The reason why we should not settle at Rehoboth, the reason why we should move forward from Rehoboth to another place where God is taking us to, it is because the covenant that God made with Abraham have not been fully fulfilled. Until when we see somebody who will be able to number the sand at the seashore. And that is why Isaac could not rest. Even as the Bible said that at that Rehoboth, he thanked God for Rehoboth. But he say he moved forward. Can you discover that the appearance of God to him in verse 24 was not at Rehoboth? That means as you move forward, you have another experience of new appearance. God will keep on appearing to you. God will keep on appearing to me as we move forward. Remember, this wasn't the time, this only not only the time that God have said, he said it again and again. He said it that I will bless you, I will multiply you. He's repeating again in verse 24, he said, I will be with you, I will bless you and multiply thy seed. That means that God is not yet satisfied. Now, I want us to now discover, why is it that many people today, they can settle down to rejoice on just little when there is still much, much land to possess, when there is still much, much ground to conquer? And that is the reason why the burden in my heart this morning is to share with us what is making many not to multiply. What is making many to get strangulated on the way? When you see them, they are moving forward. You see them, they are appearing good and they are doing well. Suddenly, they disappear on the scene. Suddenly, you don't see them again. Now, we pick this illustration from the parable of Jesus. Look at it. He said, look at first Matthew chapter 13. He said, the ground is a good ground. Take note of that. The seed sown is a good seed. Now, in that Matthew chapter 13, you will discover that the ground that is a good ground, please note this, and the seed that is a good seed, the seed was sown in a good ground. But when the affairs come, we discover something that I need to understand and you need to understand. It said, the seed bring forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Take note of this. Now, if this ground is good, nothing wrong with the ground where the seed has been sown, and if the seed also is good, nothing wrong with the seed, and if the sower, the man who sowed it also, is a good man, which is our Master Jesus. Now, can we check what is the problem? I was thinking that as long as there's nothing wrong with the seed and nothing wrong with the ground, then they should have yielded in such a way that if it's going to be 100-fold, let it be 100-fold. If it's going to be 60, let it be 60. And if it's going to be 30, let it be 30. But why is it that the same good ground, that the good seed have been sown, some bring 30, some bring 60, some bring 100. Now, the burden the Holy Spirit is raising with us is that why is it that you discover that the next person by your side is bringing 100-fold fruits, another person is bringing 60-fold fruit, and you are only bringing in 30, and still it does not provoke you to hard work. Still, you are not challenged. You did not ask question, what is wrong with me? The ground is good. The seed is good. Why is it that that's my neighbor? It's bringing 100-fold. That other one is bringing 60-fold. Why is it that you that we are bringing 60, you are not provoked to say, why? Where is the rest 40? And you that you are bringing 30, you are not challenged. Why should I lose 70? The ground is good. The seed is good. This is the ingredient I felt we should come along with in this our table. What is it? Looking at John chapter 15, you hear Jesus saying something. In John chapter 15, verse 1 and verse 2. If we can quickly turn to the place. John 15, please, let's quickly pick verse 1 and verse 2. Because I know that God will give us solution to this matter. If the seed is good and the ground is good, why is it that there is difference in this production, in this dividend, in what we are bringing forth? We need to find out that quickly, as we turn to John chapter 15, verse 1 and verse 2. I am the true vine, verse 1 of John 15, and my Father is the husbandman, verse 2. Every branch in me that bringeth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bringeth fruit, he purgeth it. He purged it. He pruned it. that he may bring forth more fruit. I stop there. Please hear me. I discover nothing wrong with the ground, nothing wrong with the seed. The ground is good, the seed is equally good. And they are sown probably at the same time. But why is it that some bring 100-fold, some 60, and some 30? That is the issue that we need to pray about. And I discover that how do we arrive at this, our reward? That the Bible said that every branch in me that bringeth no fruit, it taketh away. Listen to this. There are many people that you may not know. For one reason or the other, they are no more on this journey. Something has happened to them on the way. Something has happened to them. We don't know, but I know that something takes place that we cannot explain. The people that started this journey, the people that have carried the fire of revival, the people that are burning for God, they are nowhere to be found again. And we are on stage today. We are moving, and this day we have come to our reward. But in order for us to bring forth fruit, the Holy Spirit is saying that we must make our zeal available for one thing. If you listen to our elder brother, Broglie Akoni, he will explain time without number how the journey has been. Hello, friend. How the journey has been. We did not just arrive here suddenly. We did not just enter into this just like that. It has been a journey. And I named that journey a narrow journey to Rehoboth. A narrow passage to Rehoboth, which we'll be looking into very briefly. The way we get to this place is not a palatable way. And the reason why it's not so palatable is because of verse 2 of John chapter 15. That anyone that wants to arrive at Rehoboth, he must release himself for proper pruning, for proper shaping, for proper incubation. You cannot get to Rehoboth when you have not released your life for God to prune you. And I discover that many, many of us, we are dodging and we are running away from this pruning of the Lord. And I also discover that the reason why we are not bringing forth in 100-fold is because you decided to dodge the pruning knife of God. Because the more God prunes you and work on you, the more you bring forth fruit. Probably the one that brings forth 100-fold release himself, release his life. Say, Father, I am in your hand. Anything you want to do with this life, over to you. No argument, no struggling. Anywhere you want to cut in my life, keep on cutting. Any area that needed to be shaped, come on, I give you express permission. Are you hearing me out there this morning? Are you listening to the word of God? And you discovered that you have settled down for little. The reason why you are no more productive, the reason why you are no more yielding fruit, the reason why you are not bringing forth fruit, it is probably you are dodging from the pruning of the Lord. You are dodging, you are shying away for what God wants to do with your life in order for you to bring much, much fruit. He said, anyone that produces fruit, I will not just leave him, I will picking, I will keep on pruning and working and trimming. I will keep on working. Why? For destruction? No. For much production. In this our remote, I want to announce to everyone hearing the voice of this message, that the time has come for everyone that want to bring fruit in his abundant fruitfulness, we will release ourselves for pruning. And can I call it his proper name? Discipleship. The reason why you can never multiply, you can never go beyond where you are, it is because you are joking with your discipleship. You are joking with your discipleship. I have seen many people getting stranded, and many say, what can I do more? Listen to me, friend. As long as you are joking with your personal relationship with Jesus, your personal commitment to Jesus, your personal pursuit of Jesus, you will start bearing fruit. As long as you begin to lose sight, you begin to focus your attention in another thing, you begin to maintain double eyes and double focus, you will stop producing. I invite everyone listening to my voice that it is time for you to take your personal discipleship very, very serious. Very, very serious. The reason is because the more you yield yourself to it, the more fruit you bear. Hallelujah. The more you surrender yourself to it, the more productive you become. There is no way a tree that have not been passing through pruning and shaping will bring forth fresh fruit. Then can we take the illustration quickly from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's take the illustration before we pray. I felt this morning, if it is a good ground and it's also a good seed, then personally I will not be satisfied with 60-fold or 30-fold. How can I give account of this? How can I go and tell the Lord that I'm a good ground and the seed you sow in me is a good seed, which is the word of God? Why is it that my neighbor bring forth 100-fold? And this one brings 60, but I am coming to you with 30. Is that a pass mark? And the reason why you could not produce is what God is addressing now. Let's take the illustration quickly. The narrow way to our rainbow. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we will not read up, we'll pick verse 1 and verse 2. And if the Lord will help us, we'll be able to pick maybe verse 8. All the commandment which I commanded this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply. Listen carefully. The secret of multiplication, the secret of fruitfulness, depends on obeying every instruction given to you by God. All the commandment which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply. There is no man or woman that listen and observe and keep the commandment, the instruction of God, that will ever remain little. There is no person that will be adamant and true to the instruction from the Lord that will never, never produce and multiply. The secret of multiplication, the secret of enlargement, the secret of fruitfulness is keeping to the commandment, to the instruction, to the teaching, giving, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt remember, listen, and thou shalt remember in verse 2, all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. When he said God led you, led me in the wilderness, I think for every one of us who have been in discipleship relationship, we can identify with truly, God in his mercy have led us through the wilderness. The journey, our journey to Rehoboth is not at the plate of eating and drinking and dancing. It's a wilderness journey. And all the people that arrive at Rehoboth today, go and ask them, they will tell you the journey have not been easy. This morning we are going to invite thousands of souls to join this chariot. Join this chariot. The Lord has spoken better things about us. We want you to travel with us. God has already spoken good things concerning all the people that have sat inside this chariot. That we should remember the way he has led us 40 days in the wilderness. And why is he doing that? Why did he decide to lead us through wilderness? Let's pick two or three things quickly from there. Number one, to humble us. Is any man outside there listening to me? You can never arrive at your Rehoboth as a proud man, unteachable man, a man that is not bendable, a man that can never listen to instruction. He said to humble you. Any man that God will take to his Rehoboth must be that man that has learned humility at the feet of the master. The man that is full of pride and arrogance, you can never arrive at your Rehoboth. The man that is unteachable, the man that will never listen to instruction and obey it, you cannot never arrive at your Rehoboth. In fact, you will perish on the way. To humble thee, the Bible says, and to prove thee. What is he proving? To know what was in thy heart. Are you following Jesus because of prosperity? Are you following Jesus because you want to make it on the planet Earth? To know what is in your heart. All the people that God will take to their Rehoboth, God will search their heart. Even as the word of God is going on this morning, God is watching your heart. He wants to know why you are here. He wants to know why you attend MLR 2021. Are you a seeker of God? Are you seeking genuine anointing of God? Are you seeking the power of God in the right way? Are you seeking the life of the cross? Are you a seeker of the life that imperishable, the life that can never perish? Are you a seeker of such a life that abides forever? God is proving and is searching you. He said that what? That will prove thee to know what was in the earth. Whether thou wilt keep his commandment or not. All the people that are falling away from the journey to the Rehoboth, God have discovered that they are seeking another thing. It's not the Lord Jesus. And if you are hearing me this morning and you are not seeking the Lord, you will soon be taken away. It's not a cause. He said, anyone that is not producing, he will take them away. Either by physical death, or they will get strangulated and they will get disappear on the way. He said, just to prove thee, to know what is in your heart. Now, let's look at it again. Look at verse 3. That is Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee and suffer thee to hunger. Can you imagine this, brethren? How can you be journeying with God?
The God that is God of abundance. Hallelujah. The God that is God of plenty. The God in him where there is no lack. But he say he suffered thee to hunger. What is the meaning of this? Many of us will never arrive at our rainbow if we want to be such men or such women that our appetites have not been trained. Anytime God wants to trim and try and to test your appetite, you feel that this is a suffering. Actually, it is the Lord that arranged it to know that when he try your heart, he try your appetite, he want to see the kind of person you are. And that's what God is doing to you. Listen, don't give up. Brother, sister, don't give up. God is only trying your appetite to know that when you get to the land of promise, you will use your life to consume everything in that land. He said to suffer you to hunger. Can you imagine that? And feed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. And this is the experience that many of us can testify about. That many of us, we can testify. I don't know whether some of you that are hearing me, who have been working with the Lord in discipleship, you can testify that the journey truly, truly is a wilderness journey. But glory be to God, we are now at our rainbow. Glory be to God, we did not perish in the wilderness. He said that he suffered us to hunger. Not only that, he suffered us to hunger, to be hungry, so that he can try our heart. Look at another thing he did to us in verse 4. He said, thy raiment was not old upon thee, neither did thy shoes swell these 40 years. Can you testify to that? That even our shoe, our raiment, what we wear, is so concerned about it. What we put on is so concerned about it. Please, for the benefit of you who want to join this chariot, to the journey of the fruitfulness. God is concerned about the way you eat. He's concerned about the way you dress. He's concerned about the way you appear. He's concerned about everything about you. God will not allow you to go on your own way. God will not allow you to suggest what you want to do, how you are going to do it, how you will carry it out. No, he will not permit it. And I still want to beg you that finally, if you can allow God to take over, you will surely arrive at your rainbow. Then I discover again in verse 5, when you look at it, that thou shalt also consider in the heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. What is the meaning of this? That means that all those who arrive at their rainbow, they will submit themselves for correction, for discipline. The reason why many cannot arrive is what we are saying this morning. I am not doing exposition. Our elderly brother talked about the seed, time without number. But this morning, my sole concern is how some people have complained with us. They want to enter into their rainbow, but they are playing with their discipleship relationship first with Jesus and with the person that God has placed over their life. There is no way you can arrive at your rainbow. There's no way you can multiply. There's no way you can bring forth fruit in its abundance until when you deliberately, purposely settle down for discipleship. Is anyone out there hearing me? And you have been so careless to the extent that you are getting lost in the midst of the crowd. There is no way again we can even find out what you are doing and how you are doing it. You are already a graduate. All over the world today, we see that the Spirit of God is moving. All over the world today, just as the prophet says it's going to be. But why will you be left out? Why will you be left behind? Why will you not join the people to enter into the arable? Why will you be able to enter when you did not submit yourself to the hand of the Lord that prompted you? Time will not permit us to share testimony how some of us have passed through that hand, and by his mercy and by his grace today, we did not perish in the wilderness. Friend, if you can submit to the hand of God, the molding hand of God, you will never perish on the way. You will arrive at your rehabilitation in the name of Jesus Christ. You will arrive, not only arrive there, but you will bring forth fruit. Not only bring forth fruit, you will bring forth fruit in its abundance. You will multiply, you will increase, you will expand. Why? Because you submit unto discipleship. The matter of discipleship cannot be overemphasized. That is the key that God has given to this work. And if there's anyone that you are going to advise, can you help me to advise and counsel them that take your discipleship very, very serious? Are you not failing in this area? Are you not losing out in this area? When have you received counsel last? When have you received instruction last? Are you not now? Are you not on your own way now? When have you submit what you are doing to anybody to check it? When have you asked that, is this right? Is this right? Are you not the one that's carried out? You carry out the plan, you execute the plan, you are just going. You may not arrive at your rehab. Before we pray this morning, I just have a body to share with everyone hearing my voice. Let's return to the place of our discipleship. Let's return to the making hand of God. All the prodigal sons and daughters, let's return back home. God has spoken good things about you. God said that I am doing this just to prove you, to try you, to test you, not to destroy you, not to kill you, just for me to know that you are 100% with me. He said there is no king that wants to go to war with another king that will not make sure they have enough army to combat the enemy coming. And if you are going to be among this end time army, there is no shortcut. Discipleship is the way. Submitting yourself into the hand of him that will mold you is the way. Now finally, before we pray, God has already handing over the pruning machine, or the pruning instrument into the hand of many people. You, Mr. Man, can you hear me? You should have advanced more than this. You should have gone. You should have produced. You should have multiplied. But when God just when your wife just take the knife to cut something out of your life, say, no, you don't do me like that. God said, no, this one you cannot move. There are many times that you are expecting God himself to come and do it. But God has handed over every one of us into the hand of another human being, human hand, to do this pruning for us. Please, brothers and sisters, I beg you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, locate your proper place in discipleship. Please settle down over this matter. Walk over this matter. Don't joke over this matter. I am praying that the Holy Spirit will minister to your heart this morning, that if you are going to multiply, if you are going to increase, don't forget, the seed is good, which is the word of God. The ground is also good, which is your own life. But why are you not producing hundredfold is the omission of discipleship. It's because you have not submit yourself to discipleship. It is because you feel it's too rigorous, it's too hard, and I can do it the way I want to do it. You will not arrive at your rehab. Finally, can we quickly return to Genesis? That is where I will end up. Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26. Please, can we look at this, what God speak unto Isaac? That's where we round up this morning. In Genesis 26, look at, we've read it before, I want you to look at it. Verse 22.
and remove from hence and dig another well. And for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. 23. And he went up from hence to Beersheba. 24. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night. And the Lord appeared unto him when? The same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Please underline, for my servant Abraham's sake. Everything that God wants to do, listen to me before we pray. It is because there is a covenant that God have entered with Abraham. What is that covenant? If anyone can number the sand at the seashore, so shall your children be numbered. And as long as we have not seen any man that we say, I am able to number the sand at the seashore, so there is no rest for you and me until when the children of Abraham cover the whole planet Earth. Until when correct children begin to overwhelm and overthrow and overturn the whole planet Earth. The reason why Isaac could not sit down, it is because he discovered that the promise made with his father Abraham, if that promise will come to pass, he cannot settle here. He had to move. Friend, the time has come. If we are going to be part of this, there will be no time for you to relax. The time for great multiplication, fruitfulness, productive has come, and you cannot afford sitting down. The time for hard work has come. Let the weak say, I am strong. Push on. Push on in your commitment with God. Push on in your prayer. Push on in your discipleship. Push on in your multiplication. In your hobbies, occupy. In the market, occupy. Don't allow yourself to be intimidated. You don't need to apologize to anybody on the planet Earth for occupying that place. You have been posted there by God to occupy. As we are going to pray, you will say, Lord, I will not die little. I will not die with this 30-fold. I will not appear with you in the day of judgment and say, my friend, I'm praying for 100-fold, but I'm coming with 30. Holy Spirit, please help me. If you can bow your head and say, Lord, I want to join the chariot of them that multiply. I want to join the chariot of them that increase. I want to join the chariot of them that will never allow the covenant you made with Abraham to suffer damage. Bow your head and let us pray. Karabu Syria, Lord, we identify with this covenant. We identify, oh Lord, we have discovered again and again this morning that the ground is good, the seed is also good. But in order for multiplication, this ingredient of discipleship that we are joking with, we need to return back to it. Father, as we cry, can you beg God, friend? Can you beg God? Can you begin to connect back to where God has started with you? Can you be say, Lord, I am the one you are speaking to. I am the one you are talking to. I have been playing with my discipleship relationship with you. I have left you. I have not been so faithful again.
In fact, I'm on my way. I cannot remember when I communicate with my disciple at last. I can never remember when he speak to me last. He has left me to go. Oh, Father, don't abandon me. Father, I need a proper connection. Holy Spirit, please help me this morning. Is there anyone there who wants to say, Lord, I want to join this chariot of discipleship. If you can just stand on your feet, I want to pray with you. I want to say, I want to join this chariot. I know that discipleship is necessary. Lord, I am standing on my feet. I want to join this chariot. I have been hearing about it, but now I discover without this, I can never arrive at my rainbow. Can such people stand up as we pray together quickly? Can you take a stand now? Lord, I want to identify with this. This is the need now. If I'm going to produce, if I'm going to multiply, this is my time. I want to pray with you. And if you don't mind, wherever you are standing, if you can quickly rush out, please do it very fast. Very fast. Rush out. Father, I want to join the chariot of discipleship that is taking people to the glorious land. Can you begin to rush out as I pray? My day of fruitfulness is today. Can you step out? Can you step out? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Do that very fast. Do it very fast. Do that very fast. God bless you. As I'm praying, quickly join them and go on your knee. Say, Lord, I want to join this chariot. I have been joking with my disciples in relationship with you. I have never been serious, but today, after this end of 2021, the story is going to take a new turn. Father, I bring before you this day all your sons and daughters all over the world who have discovered that the seed you sown in their life is not a bad seed. It's a good seed. And their heart that you sown the seed also is a good heart. But what have brought deficiency to their life is their joking and their playing and their struggling with their discipleship relationship. Lord, as they stand and they are standing before you, kneeling before you, Lord, this ingredient, oh God, of discipleship, Lord, will you please impart in them? Will you please do it now? Let the spirit of the living God come upon them. The spirit of submissiveness. The spirit of learning. The spirit of growing. The spirit that will make them to say, yes, though I pass through the shadow of them, I will never be perished. I pass through the fire, I will never be consumed. I pass through the river, it shall not carry me away. I will arrive at my rainbow. As many of them that are praying this prayer, Father, release upon them the grace to pass through it. Thank you, blessed Father. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit.